Let's read together Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. In this first part of the chapter, we have Israel's defeat of the king of Arad and the well-known event of the bronze serpent being lifted up on a pole in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. The setting for these events in Numbers chapter 21 comes near the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness for the children of Israel. In Numbers chapter 20, the nation of Edom refused to allow Israel to pass through her territory in order to get to the ancient King's Highway, which would have made traveling a lot easier. And then in chapter 20, Aaron died at Mount Hor. Mount Hor was by the border of the land of Edom, as we see in verse 23 of chapter 20. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom. In the last verse of chapter 20, we read that Israel mourned Aaron's death for 30 days. Verse 29 of chapter 20, "And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. During that 30 days, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, which is the southern part of the land of Canaan, probably thought that Israel was about to make her move into the land of Canaan from the south. So the king of Arad brought his forces out against Israel and attacked Israel and took some of the people captive. 38 years before this time, Israel had been defeated in this very area by the Amalekites and Canaanites when they wrongly tried to enter into the land in their own strength. I'm reading Numbers chapter 14, verse 45. This is about 40 years before. "Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah." So the king of Arad, here in Numbers chapter 21, undoubtedly knew about this defeat of Israel and was hoping for a repeat victory. But this time, Israel went before the Lord, and the Lord heard their prayer. Verse 3 of chapter 21. "And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah." Now, instead of moving his people immediately into the hill country of Canaan and more fighting, the Lord directed his people to go southeast all the way around the land of Edom. Now remember, the people are being led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, so there is no question that the Lord was taking them in this direction. And certainly more we could give for background. Well, let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first portion of Numbers chapter 21. Doctrinal point number one: lifting up the bronze serpent is a picture of substitution. Lifting up the bronze serpent is a picture of substitution. The fact that the children of Israel had to travel the long way around Edom resulted in their complaining once again. Verse 5, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread," the manna. Remember, this is primarily the new generation of the children of Israel that is complaining here. When we read back in Numbers chapter 11, that was the former generation, about 40 years before. This is the new, younger generation. But like father, like son, they are still complaining. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people as discipline. They were called fiery serpents because of the burning sensation caused by the poison. Now, at least this new generation confessed their sin and asked Moses to intercede for them. Verse 7. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people." The Lord told Moses to do a most unusual thing. He was to make a fiery serpent out of bronze and lift it up on a pole. Everyone dying of poison lived if and when they looked at the raised bronze serpent. You know, most likely the symbol of the medical caduceus with the entwined snakes on a staff traces back to this event. Now, secular sources say that the caduceus traces back to the symbol used by the Greeks for healing. But most likely, the roots of even the Greek healing symbol go further back to this event in Numbers chapter 21. Now, why did God choose this method of healing for the people? To look at a bronze snake raised on a pole? Well, the Lord gives us the answer in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So the bronze serpent lifted up is a spiritual picture of Christ being lifted up on the cross. But why a snake? Wouldn't the type or spiritual picture be better if it was a bronze lamb to represent the Lamb of God? Why a serpent? Answer, because when Christ died on the cross, he was judged by God for our sins. Jesus took the curse for us. He died as our representative. He died as our substitute. As the people then were dying because of the poisonous snake bites, so people are dying today because of the poison of sin. And we've all been bitten, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus died as the sin bearer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. "For he," that is God, "made him," that is Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Lord Jesus became a curse for us when he died on the cross. Galatians 3:13. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." The Lord Jesus was lifted up on the cross as our substitute. Now notice that Moses did not put one of the fiery serpents on the pole, but a bronze serpent made in the likeness of a fiery serpent. I think that's important to note. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he did not become a sinner or become sin intrinsically. No. As 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24. Lifting up the bronze serpent is a picture of substitution. Doctrinal point number two, looking at the bronze serpent is a picture of salvation. Looking at the bronze serpent is a picture of salvation. Notice a number of points brought out in this spiritual picture concerning the biblical doctrine of salvation. First of all, it was the only way to be healed, the only way. It was God's way. The people may have tried some other ways, such as sucking out the poison, but to no avail. They died. There was only one way, God's way. And there is only one way of salvation, only through personal faith in Christ. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There's only one way. Personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Second, looking at the bronze serpent did not involve human works, did it? All a dying person had to do was look in the same way. Salvation from sin is not by human works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Salvation is not by works, but simply by looking to Christ in faith. Third, God's way of healing in the wilderness was available to everyone. It was available to everyone, but only effective for the individuals that looked. There was no universal healing here. In the same way, salvation from sin is not universal. It is available to everyone, but it's only effective for individuals who believe. Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Looking at the bronze serpent is a picture of salvation. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Numbers 21? Look and live. Look and live. Let me ask you this morning, everyone here, have you looked to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation? To look means to look in faith. That is to believe and trust in Christ alone for salvation, because he died on the cross for your sins. Have all of you in Sunday school looked to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You don't become a Christian by being born into a Christian family. It's an individual thing. You must look yourself, look in faith, and live. Salvation from sin does not come by looking to some church or to some ordinance like baptism or to some priest or minister, but to Christ alone. And salvation does not come by acknowledging Christ as the greatest person who ever lived, but by looking to Christ who was lifted up on the cross to die for your sins. That's what it means to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Have you looked by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ who was lifted up and died on the cross as your substitute? Have you looked? Look and live.